general government. And we are continuing this morning on Senate Bill 5542, the Department of Revenue. And we have allocated some time this morning for, as a portion of our public hearing, public testimony.
Nobody has signed up.
Okay. Is there anyone here to, that hasn't signed up? There's no one on the signature sheet that wishes to testify as a portion of the public testimony, portion on the Department of Revenue. I just mentioned for the record that I have had some contact from the a group that was concerned about the possibility dealing with the a portion of what we dealt with yesterday, dealing specifically with the suspense account of large numbers of returns being received that move immediately to the suspense account. There was some concern that they may, by last name, be able to identify perhaps foreigners, people from foreign countries, or people who may be of a different ethnicity. I met with the and had some good discussions with the director, and she assured me that those accounts that are moved to the suspense account, first of all, are never selected by ethnicity. They're selected by the computer to move over based upon those folks that may claim large numbers of dependent exemptions or may have come from one specific area with large numbers of dependent exemptions. And sometimes that's been associated with the agriculture industry, harvest and the cultivation and creation of crops, and that they have in fact found some abuses when that goes into a suspense account. The suspense account sets the parameters, and then they move that over into an account where it's actually examined by human eyes before the refunds are issued. And unfortunately, that seems to have gone directly at portions of our agriculture industry, and there have been abuses that have been noted, and they have been rather aggressively pursued by the Department of Revenue. And I commend the director and appreciate the fact that that could not be done or is not being done on the basis of surname, but is being done on the basis of other sideboards that are stuck into the computer program, which do not check anyone's, because there is no evidence of race on a tax return that is entered to the computer program to check on anything. Mostly the numbers are checked, and that's where that comes from. With that, I wanted to make that noted for the record, because I had had some contact expressing concern that to make sure that we weren't profiling tax returns based upon ethnicity, and there's no way to have done that, nor on the basis of surname. There's no way to do that within the computer program itself. With that, then what we will do is we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and public testimony on Senate Bill 5542. And we're now going to go ahead and open a public hearing portion on House Bill 2135, as it's been engrossed. And I failed to mention that Megan Jensen is assisting us as our subcommittee assistant, and we welcome Rick Olson from Legislative Fiscal Office. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. House Bill 2145 implements the federal Help America Vote Act, establishes the election fund within the state of Oregon that's required in the federal act. And then it will establish limitations to spend money, the federal money that Oregon receives for this Help America Vote Act. And we have the Secretary of State here today to give you a little bit of history and explanation of the bill.
Okay, please. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much for coming. We're honored to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your consideration of this bill.
Mr. Secretary, you understand why I'm not removing my hat, even...
I do. I think it says, it doesn't say eat more beef.
Eat more beef. It
yes.
says beef is what's for dinner. But by way of explanation, Mr. Secretary, let me just say that I got a beef in rural eastern Oregon When jobs are cut on the part of the state, many times those jobs are cut out of rural Oregon. We lost 60-plus jobs at a facility, an OYA facility, and bless your heart, Senator Devlin. He's heard this story so many times.
He can't. Would you like to, anyway. How much does he pay you every time he tells this story?
Because I don't use any acronyms. I don't have to pay anything. But when the
Mr.
Oregon
Chair,
Youth Authority...
excuse me, I think you just said OYA.
No, you did. I said Oregon. But when that institution closed up in Burns, Oregon, it was the equivalent loss. I recognize that 60-plus jobs don't sound like many, but it was the equivalent loss of a business, a single business in Portland, of shutting down 8,755 jobs. Good family wage jobs, top of the line. These are the best jobs we have in the county. And I'd say that there'd be at least 80 legislators laying in front of the movie vans trying to stop them if we had an industry that closed up that many jobs in the Portland area. But I didn't have a single legislator other than Senator Ferrioli and myself come to the aid of the people in Harney County. So what we're doing is we've got beef. We'd like to have Eastern Oregon treated the same job-wise throughout the state. But then we also recognize that what's left after I lose my timber mills and all of my timber-related jobs and the other environmental impact that I have on the community with these other kinds of jobs is that we continue to be reduced down in the scope. So all I really have left of any significant consequence in Harney County is some tourism jobs and my beef industry. So when you eat beef, be sure that you ask, is it Harney County beef? Because if you don't ask at least if it's Oregon beef, we will lose those jobs from Oregon. But if you ask if it's Harney County beef, then people will start to say, isn't that where the best beef is raised?
Mr. Chair, Senator? Are you doing Longhorn over there?
You know, we'll make them Longhorn or Shorthorn, whatever you'd like.
We got
some good lick 'em glue, and we'll stick on some whatever size you'd like.
I ask that because seriously, what a lot of people don't know, that Longhorn, there's been some testing done, and it's extremely lean. In fact,
very lean.
It's leaner than chicken. I mean, if you do the comparable studies on it, and the problem that they had was, to the American palate, was to try to, get them to see that you don't have to have all that marbling in the beef. See, I do know my beef.
You absolutely do, and I would defer to you, Senator, anytime when it comes to matters of cuisine. So, but I appreciate you listening
to
that
very
story.
Very good,
again.
Very lean, and very healthy.
Yes, yes, indeed. And we do have Longhorn in Harney County in eastern Oregon. It's just that, again, as you say, the palate of the American people likes some of that marbling.
I believe the I was talking to American Heart, and in hospitals, they should be the number one purchaser of Longhorn when we look at some of the health issues because of the lean factor that's involved with beef. And for those of us who have to go on, little diets, it's good for that, too, because it's, from a caloric standpoint, it ranks up there lower than chicken.
Thank you very much, Senator.
You like that plug?
I like that. That's a great pitch. And we'll have a beef cat for you afterwards. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. We're kibitzing waiting for Representative Patridge as well. So with that, we'll just go ahead and have you go in on the implementing the Help America Vote Act of 2002, if you would, please.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify on this bill. If House Bill 2145 is not signed into law by April 29th, which is just under 2 weeks from now, Oregon will not be one of the first states to receive payments under the Federal Help America Vote Act. On April 29th, Oregon must certify that it complies with certain provisions of HABA to get our first payment. And the first payment is substantial. It's $5 million. If we do not certify by that date, our first payment will not come with the first batch of states. And we don't really know. They say there'll be later payments, but we don't really know when we would get our funding. We clearly need this early money, which does not require any state match, to keep moving forward on replacing punch cards and establishing a centralized voter registration system. The quick summary of the bill before you, it's a very simple bill, is that it puts in place what we need to have done to qualify for the Help America Vote Act funding. Number one, it creates an election fund so that interest earned on the federal funds goes to election purposes. That's a requirement of the federal act. Second, it authorizes me to adopt by rule an administrative complaint procedure to give citizens an opportunity to raise concerns about the implementation of the federal act in this state. It also exempts that process from the State Administrative Procedures Act so that it can meet the federal timelines of resolving complaints in 90 days. And this complaint procedure has been drafted by our representative in the Department of Justice. It allows my office to receive ballots from long-term absentee voters to make it easier for overseas and military voters to participate in the electoral process, so that they don't have to know which county to send it to. They just have to send it to the Secretary of State here in Salem. Finally, the final thing the bill does is it extends the deadline to implement the centralized voter registration system that was mandated by the 2001 legislature. It extends that deadline to January 1st, 2006, which is when we hope to have it up and running. I gotta say just how refreshing I find it to be complying with federal mandates that, in fact, we agree with, that we were already trying to implement before the federal act took place, and we've had some input in what the federal mandates are. And what's really remarkable is these federal mandates really look like they will, in fact, be fully funded by the federal government. So just one final note, I held the first of seven public hearings last night on our draft state election plan. That was a hearing held in Multnomah County. I go to Medford later today, and Bend, and LeGrand, and Newport. And I don't know what I've left out. I'm Salem. I'm very pleased to report to you that there's really broad agreement and cooperation on this election plan among state and county officials. And there's basically pretty strong support for the course we're on. And we have, I think all of you have copies of the election plan. So I'd encourage you in your free time, which I know you have just lots of, to take a look at the plan. We'll be holding a hearing on it here in Salem on noon next Thursday in the Public Service Building across the street. So we really need this bill to be able to receive the federal money, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if I could.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Are there questions for the Secretary? Mr. Secretary, you mentioned, I think, 4 points. The first one was that the earned income, interest income on election funds must be retained with the federal or with those election funds. What was the second point?
Second point was that I have to adopt an administrative complaint procedure that gives citizens an opportunity to essentially register, complain about how we're implementing the federal act. So that was something the feds require of every state, to have a quick administrative complaint procedure.
And it exempts certain state procedures from the act after those procedures have been certified. Was the third point, I think, was an exemption.
Well, the third point was that we are now going to, this bill provides for the Secretary of State's office to be the one that starts receiving long-term absentee ballots. Right now they go to the county that you're registered in. We will forward them to the county where they're supposed to be counted, but we want to make it simple for overseas military to get just have one address, not 36.
Great. Questions? Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the Secretary's comments is that I think going beyond the purpose of this single bill that's before us here today, I think the most fortunate thing is the dollars that are available in terms of the electoral system of the state, and that some of the problems that the state has had in terms of punch card ballots, which actually two of my counties are two of the largest counties left with punch card systems.
Yes.
And also the issue of centralized voter file, because anybody who's spent a lot of times with voters' files realizes, well, I don't think that there is a great deal of fraud. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that people actually vote in more than one county. But it is not uncommon to find the same voter in two different counties. It's also not terribly uncommon to find that the person has moved from one address to another, and it's the same person, but maybe they've been married or their marriage has been went through a dissolution process, and you've got the same voter on the rolls in two different locations. And having a centralized voter file will help us actually to find many of these problems in the. And it also goes back to another law that we have on the books, which is the double majority, which is supposed to be based on the premise of 50% of eligible voters.
Right.
And then that leads to a question of who is and who is not an eligible voter, and it'll probably help us resolve that issue too. So without this federal money, given our current fiscal situation, the chances that we would be tackling any of these issues relatively soon would probably be, Mr. Secretary, I'll let you comment on that. It probably would be pretty small. Would that be?
Yes, I would say that the likelihood of if we were looking at implementing or helping counties phase out punch cards and implementing a centralized voter registration system on our own, I don't think there's any way we would be doing that now, given that last session, when things weren't as bad, we got in a special session once we got done the session. But given that last session we only partially funded centralized voter registration, which then we didn't do it. But it would not happen at all right now if it wasn't for the federal act.
And if I might comment one thing further, Mr. Chairman, and now that
please,
Representative Patridge is here, we can vote on the bill, is that, you know, I don't know how many people here, there's not very many left. There's three counties left now, right, that are punch card counties?
Washington, Clackamas, Lane.
Yeah, so I'm the only one here, actually, that has. When you get a ballot that requires you to punch out 60 or 70 in some of our really complex elections, the little chads, and you get this sheet and you're sitting there,
almost exhausts the people from over here in the valley to have to punch it.
I know.
That's really tough. I had to come to Eastern Oregon where we got to hold a pencil on there.
But it's really something, because I don't think it would ever actually, if you applied ADA standards to that ballot, I don't
ADA
think.
ADA standards.
Yeah, American with Disabilities Act standards to that ballot. I don't think it would ever.
I
challenge
what you said, you have to pay mine too.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Senator. Anything further, Mr. Secretary?
No.
Thank you very much.
Actually, one other thing I do have.
Okay.
I do have a letter of support from Phil Penhollow from the Association of Oregon Counties, strongly supporting the rapid passage of this bill. So I guess I should have that.
Great. And if you give those to Rick, and then Rick has another one here for the record. Rick?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have a letter here from Annette Newingham, Elections Legislative Chair of the Oregon Association of County Clerks, also in support of House Bill 2145.
Thank you very much. With that, we will close the public hearing portion on House Bill 2045A and open the work session on 2045A. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You do have a copy of the A engrossed bill in front of you. There is also in front of you a -A4 amendment. This amendment does a few things. First of all, it deletes the blanks that are in the bill and substitutes dollar amounts. These are federal fund limitations. It's anticipated right now that come the 1st of May, the Secretary of State, this fund will receive about $5 million from the federal government. And then later on in the fall, it's close to another $10 million that they'll receive. These are the amounts that will be expended in the effort to comply with the Help America Vote Act federal legislation. So that's part of what the A4 amendment does. Additionally, some of the later monies that the federal government will distribute to the states may require some state match up to perhaps 5%. During the 0103 biennium, during the couple of the emergency board meetings, the E-Board allocated $270,000 to the Secretary of State's office for the central voter registration portion. What this amendment also does, it disappropriates that $270,000 from the operating fund of the Secretary of State and then appropriates it to the election fund created in this bill so that that $270,000 can then be used as part of the match requirement for the federal money. So it's a zero effect on the general fund. We're just transferring it from the operating account to this election fund's account. What this amendment doesn't do that needs to happen, and I would recommend a conceptual amendment, is establish the limitation, the other fund's limitation of $270,000 within the election fund so that they're able to spend that money.
You've heard the discussion. Questions or any passage?
I have a question. I apologize. I was not here. I was on a conference call. That's why I brought my phone down. I just had a question about 2145. I want to know if voter turnout and voter data information is going to be available. I happen to sit in one of the few counties in the state that has voter registration, but we can't ever get information on who's voted in the previous elections. And if we're going to a centralized system, I just want to be assured by the Secretary of State's office that every county now will be uniformly delivering voter data as to who voted in the previous election.
Mr. Chair, Patty McGuire, Deputy Secretary of State, also chair of the steering committee that's working on the centralized voter registration system. We are currently working on a draft RFP to purchase a centralized system. As part of the draft RFP, we plan on including the ability to track voter history, meaning...
Hey, Patrick, is that responsive to what your concern is?
Yeah, that's responsive. I just want to make sure it's going to be available, fully available to the public in every county.
Yes. We are developing one statewide system that everyone will use. There'll be uniform data statewide. If your district crosses county lines, it'll look exactly the same on one side of the line as it will on the other side of the line.
We won't have a bunch of cowboys as county clerks then.
Well, I'm not going there.
cowgirls as a county.
We're still cowboys.
All right.
Further questions of Rick relative to the what will become the A5 conceptual amendments to this?
A5.
Yeah, this we've got A4, and the A5 would include the conceptual amendment that we would establish other funds limitation of the $270,000, which had been general fund previously, with within the election fund itself. Now I assume that would be an A5. Is that your anticipation, Rick?
That's my anticipation. Legislative Council is working on that now.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just for
Senator Devlin,
clarification so we don't run into any difficulty. In some committees, and I don't know if the rules of this committee would include this, in some committees you have to suspend the rules to conceptually amend.
I think that the co-chairs have given us authority under their direction to go ahead and...
I'm more than eager to suspend the rules if we need to.
Okay. Rick?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, again, this is a subcommittee. Before the full Ways and Means Committee votes on this bill, they will have the amendment in front of them.
Okay. Further discussion? So, Senator Patridge?
So, Mr. Chair, I move the -A4 amendments as conceptually amended... to include the other funds limitation, establish the other funds limitation of $270,000 within the election fund.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Are there any objections? If not, we will so order the amendment -A4 concepted with the A5 to establish the other funds limitation, $270,000 within the election funds. We'll now receive a motion from Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2145 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the recommendation. Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We will move that then to the full committee for this Friday with a due pass recommendation. And I'll go ahead and carry that on Friday morning. Okay, any concerns, questions, problems? We'll go ahead then and close the public hearing on 2145. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we've already held the public testimony open on the Department of Revenue. With that, we will go ahead. And any further good of the order? Any further business for the good of the order?
No, Mr.
Chair. Hearing and seeing none, we'll close the bill tomorrow at even time.